This is FM 100.5 and 101.9. AM 1450, Rutherford County's place to talk. WGNS, Murfreesboro, your good neighbor station. This is The Truman Show with Truman Jones. A look at the politics, news, sports, and people that are shaping Rutherford County. Now your host, Truman Jones.
Good afternoon, Rutherford County. We're going to have a really, really good show today and a very informative show. We have Mr. Jay Grannis on, one of my good buddies, and he takes care of me financially. In fact, if it wasn't for him, I'd probably be out swimming somewhere where I didn't need to be. And I want to let you know that this part of his show is brought to you by At Home Care, and that's Melissa Warren's business. And if you're currently having a hard time keeping up with your responsibilities in your home, and it looks like there's a possibility that you may have to move out to where someone could take care of you, you don't have to do that anymore. You can give them a call at 713-4639, 713-4639. Pull them up on the internet, www.athomecaretennessee.com. And they will come in and make sure that they take care of all your responsibilities inside your home. They'll run errands for you. And this is a 24/7 operation. They will take care of you around the clock. And if you would like to go to their place of business, it's 237 Castlewood Drive, Suite H. And it's right behind the Kroger's on Memorial Boulevard. Hey, Jay.
Hey, Truman, how are you doing?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Very, very well. Very well.
Now, you have your business.
That's right.
And you're a CPA.
Correct.
And you take care of all of us that are too uninformed to take care of our own tax business. And, you know, this is one of these things. I always get upset just before January because I know that I'm starting to get all this information in and compile it and make sure I've got it all ready for you.
You do a pretty good job, Truman. Sometimes it's pretty funny where people get corrected information later. Usually kind of drives them crazy, and a lot of people are used to having to file that extension just because of an outside source or something like that. But I came up to Murfreesboro probably January of 97. I'm originally from Nashville, and I was fortunate to work with my father, and he was a CPA, and grandfather's CPA, and great-grandfather's CPA.
It's in your blood.
It's in my blood. I guess numbers are in my blood. And it's sometimes if someone wants to stop by the office, I have all their certificates, which is really, really very interesting. But after graduating college, some of the best years of my life was working with my dad. I'm the youngest of six kids, so he was at retirement age and pretty much had a good partner. And then we had some other offices, one in Lebanon, we had Nashville, and one day a gentleman here offered to possibly transition his practice. And I remember sitting at the table. And my sister went to Murfreesboro and probably went to her graduation. But other than that, I went to college in Cookeville. And we were kind of banned. Putnam County, kind of banned. But
let people here know that that's where you.
Well, now that I think Tech's still in the OVC, it's a little bit safer. But honestly, it was a real just been truly enjoyable, and still. Finding my way more even after a long time here. Murfreesboro's really grown.
And I can
tell, but just so many nice people and meeting so many nice clients.
Somebody's phone's going off. I wonder whose that is. Don't worry. Don't grab it. It's mine.
It's not mine.
Mine's I can't imagine different. Who would be calling me while we're on the radio show.
Yeah. So, but most people think of CPAs as having to do, of course, with income taxes or business taxes. But a lot of even local CPAs, and I know a lot of them, fine men and women, but you know a lot of them are in investments, and you also find sometimes business valuations, some of them computer support, technology support, but mostly we deal with the small businesses. Most of them use a simple software, or sometimes it can be confusing QuickBooks, but mostly we deal with the small business and all that. And of course we go through our tax season, which kind of for us ramps up in December. You know, you try to take some time off for Christmas, and then it's it's run till April 15th, you know, and it just,
and you stay busy the whole time because you're not just waiting. People are calling you during that whole time to get ready for it.
That's right. And then after tax season, we're fortunate we do. I guess my background a long time ago, I was always interested in nonprofits. And usually your nonprofits have a June 30 year end. So you kind of get through tax season and then those June 30s are rolling up. But I do like the schools and the different nonprofits. It's a little bit, they're so much focused on doing good charitable work. You really feel like you can help them get through that, because the, you know, not only tax laws changing, they've changed the accounting and auditing. It's just more requirements, I think we all pick up the paper and we'll pick up and read about a story of some bookkeeper or something like that, and there's been a misappropriation. You open it up, and first thing I do is I feel sorry for anyone on that board. I mean, it's, you know, you're volunteering and you're trying to do a charitable purpose, but you know that's an important thing is you know, a lot of clients, we go in and look at their controls. Small businesses, you can't have all that segregation of duty you read about. You just kind of, you know, have to do your best. But you know, we're very fortunate to stay busy pretty much throughout the year and have a good little practice. There's about 12 of us.
I'm so tickled to have someone like you that's here. I know personally you take care of my business, but still, I know that everybody right now is concerned with the economy and the monies that they have coming in and meeting their responsibilities. And you know, during political time, we keep hearing one party or another saying that we're going to reduce your taxes and taxes are not going to go up. And for some reason, it doesn't respond to the amount of taxes I'm paying. Even though I may be making more or less, whatever they're saying doesn't really come out on the ledger.
Well, that's right. There's going to be, if you ever really took the time to add up, besides your income tax, but your sales tax and your real estate tax and your car tax. Now, I'm thankful for all the services, especially around here, and met all the but you know, when you really sit down to it, taxes will always drive a political election, you know, and everyone doesn't want anyone more in their pocket, but you know, your infrastructure is going to be funded by taxes. The biggest concern is, I think there's a lot of tax breaks that are probably, they're due to expire at the end of this year. Now, it seems like that's always used as maybe some rhetoric, but it always, they extend them. You know, everyone's got an opinion on what the highest tax rate should be, or, you know, if someone makes over a certain dollar amount, they should pay a little bit more. But I think most people with this economy, the way it's been, and just are thinking about taxes probably a little bit more, and trying to, you know, maybe you know, juggle a little bit more as far as some of the you know, rate changes that may come into effect. You know, I can't predict what's going to happen, but I'm not sure raising taxes is going to solve that problem. But you're going to get different political views on different solutions. It's more of who can enact something. I think, you know, that's going to be the real thing. But I appreciate doing your work. I think last year, you know, we had talked and looked at some medical deductions and talked about that. And there's, you know, I don't think anyone can know it all anymore. But you have to, you know, with all the reading, you know, you've got first returns.
That has to consume a lot of your time on research.
Well, it does. And the fact is, you just try to teach my younger staff is all you can do is know the buzzwords to know, you know, that's an issue, and be able to research it. You know, with the, you know, I remember first doing when I graduated, you know, returns with pencils and running to the copy machine. And now, you know, with the software, which is, you know, it has a lot of diagnostics, but you've got to keep up with your reading. You just can't anymore. And with the economy right now, I think more of my, elderly clients, of course, you know, they're always concerned about their investment income. And, you know, we all know how the interest-bearing things are down. And So you just try to sit down and listen to, you know, talk it through with them. Mm-hmm. You know, don't do anything, you know, that you shouldn't. You know, you've been pretty smart to get to accumulate your money, and now sometimes you have to dip a little bit in the principal, you know, but I'm not sure that's going to change for a while either. So,
you know, you're talking about people as they get older. One of the big concerns now, and especially the last 10 years, has been if they're no longer able to take care of themselves, and they have to go to nursing homes, and they have particular illnesses that are going to cause them to go. Is there any help out there at all when you're looking at the system as far as anything you can do, especially in your line of work, to give them advice on how to handle those things?
Well, sometimes, you know, there's a lot of nice facilities here, and it's very interesting. We seem to call them nursing homes, and a lot of them, they're just retirement communities. Mm-hmm. But it's really interesting that most, several of my clients that are at, you know, retirement facilities, there is a tax break, and usually I always tell them to contact the management, that even though they're not in, you know, receiving extra care, they've just chosen to live there so that maybe possibly down the road, that part of their entrance fee and their monthly fee, even though they may not be, you know, needing to be supervised, it's mm-hmm. very interesting, which, you know, that part of that has been deemed to be deductible, even though you're not receiving any medical care. Mm-hmm. You know, as in some of the probably the facilities around here, you know, they can go from anywhere from $3,000 to, you know, $6,000-$7,000 a month. So
yeah, I know some well over 80.
I have several clients. I think, like, my mom, she's,
and that's a year, of course.
Yeah. she's 92 and lives mm-hmm. in Nashville, and we always, my sisters and I, fortunately, she's still at home, got a great caregiver. You know, Alice has been, you know, super to the family because we all work. Mm-hmm. And but with that, we're able to, you know, technically, you know, she's a W-2 employee, and we take that as a medical deduction, you mm-hmm. know, for her care. We've always wanted mom to, fortunate enough to be able to stay at home. Mm-hmm. And so there's, sometimes you're in home care. I know you mentioned Melissa Warren, but, you know, mm-hmm. services like that, you know, can qualify for medical deductions. And there's just several, I mean, there's this list of medical deductions. And the one thing is, you know, just sometimes you just get ready to do those taxes and you really just don't think about it, and you can easily leave some items off.
So you should note those particular things. And I guess you need to do some research as far as dealing with the facilities, too, or the persons,
yeah,
to make sure that you're able to keep yeah. your records the way they should be.
That's right. And it's fortunately, so many pharmacies will run your annual printout of your drugs, and any long-term, any retirement facility will run your report. You know, that's to help you pull your information together.
Now, as far as pharmaceutical things that you utilize, do you get a write-off on those?
I mean, right,
I didn't
medical
know that.
Drugs. Well, you know, yes. Now, sometimes, you know, you have to watch medical, because a lot of times, you know, it's limited when you itemize your deductions. The first 7.5%, you know, may be, you know, just thrown out the door. So mm-hmm. a lot of people, depending on your income, and if you have some good insurance that covers a lot of things, you just really a lot of times don't get above that cap to get over to it. And a lot of people that are possibly older or have their house paid off, you know, that used to be the driving force, your mortgage interest on itemizing your deductions. And then when you get your house paid off, you know, you have just pretty much your property taxes and your church contributions. So, you know, sometimes, but the biggest thing is a lot of tax preparers will send you a packet, you know, to pull your information together mm-hmm. And try to ask questions. But if you're not doing, you know, preparing taxes all the time, it's easy, I can understand, you know, not thinking, you're just trying to get the things that were sent to you in the mail, package them up, and
you
get it.
You just pointed me out.
Yeah, get it in. I'm going to have to go put a note in your file now to probably have to go out to your house and flip through the checkbooks. But, and a lot of clients that are still at home, you know, and they've always been good to me, I'll stop by their house and just after hours and, you know, talk to them and, you know, make sure their checkbooks are reconciled and help, things like that. I mean, know, probably CPAs and all that, they, you know, we usually charge by the hour, you know, something like that. But, you know, so many of my clients, you know, are just like friends now. Mm-hmm. So you try to help them. One time I was appointed by the courts to assist with paying an individual's bills because she had Alzheimer's, and mm-hmm. it was deemed, you know, wanted to keep her in her house. Her house mm-hmm. was her joy.
Yeah.
And she really didn't have any, you know, particular beneficiary to leave her money. So we kind of said, well, that's what we're going to do.
That's pretty neat.
Yeah, it was. And, you know, she was kind of neat. I got to meet her when I first came to Murfreesboro. So, you know, different things for, you know, clients. And, you know, it is, like I said, pulling your information together is, it's just so much now. You know, it's just, you know, so much. I was talking to someone today. I, you know, a lot of clients have Florida properties, but, you know, right now you can get some really good buys
if you're looking at me.
Yeah, if you're interested, you know. And we were talking about him maybe investing in some Florida property. Mm-hmm. You know,
yeah, it is pretty cheap right now.
It is. Unfortunately, I've got some friends down there that remind me of that. But you know, I don't know if we'll ever see it like this right now. I mean,
it's going to come back up.
Yeah,
things are not going to stay down like they have been. But you know, there have been so many people that have taken advantage of responsibilities that they have when we're talking about investments, and they have led a number of people astray, as you know, and made some pretty good money off of it. Of course, a lot of them are getting time off of it too. But before a person starts looking at investments, shouldn't they call somebody like you that can do some research to find out? I mean, when somebody's promising you 20% and 25% return off of it, it should throw up a red flag
to
start with. But it happens to people.
Well, I think everyone gets, you know, back when probably the CDs and they were considered the safest, were paying a good. Mm-hmm. a good return, and it's infuriating and almost insulting when you look at the half a percent. Not, you know, when you see 0.5, you have to put some zero, you know, so you've got to remember there's some zeros before it. But I think, you know, with investments, there's just, you know, the old rules were, you know, you may have one broker, but you spread it around. And with personal services, attorney, real estate, so much of it's referral. Mm-hmm. You know, you can advertise forever, but, you know, you hope to satisfy some customers and let them, you know, kind of leave. But usually my clients, if they have a problem with investments, you know, we'll talk it through, mm-hmm. you know, and say, you know, I'll tell them, you know, here's my return, you know, for year to date, and you're probably, you know, here's some benchmarks and you may be in. It's just flat. You know, like I said, my sisters are older than me, and, you know, they fund their retirement through their paycheck. And I always told them, you know, 5 years before you retire, you know, spread it out, go for your growth. But 5 years before you retire, that's when you really, really need to start looking at maybe, you know, diversifying into something, you know, a little bit safer. You know, you don't lose it till you sell it. So, yeah. You know, it's just a piece of paper, you know. You don't lose it till you.
Now, those that have taken a beating over the last 10 years in the stock market, and they're down and they're thinking, well, maybe I need to sell and find something that seems more secure. Is that a good idea? Because I have always been told, not by you, I've never asked you this, I don't think, but if you're down at the lower level, does it make sense to a lot of people to just keep hanging on? That sooner or later, if it's a fairly valid, I mean, a strong stock, it's going to come back up. And then that's when you'll start seeing your dividends start shooting up.
Yeah, you usually do. I mean, it was always, you know, are you in it for the long term or the short term? Mm-hmm. So I think they always, if you meet with various investment advisors, they always talk about your, you know, what's your time horizon? Mm-hmm. You know, you kind of check all the boxes on the form. But, you know, basically, you know, you're trying to invest for the long term. And usually investment, you know, individuals, they have a wide array of different opportunities. Mm-hmm. I know we, growing up, it was individual stocks. You know, we all had a relative. Yeah. It was probably a stockbroker or a friend, and it was individual stocks. And, you know, now it's all, you know, in the mutual funds, which are supposed to, you know, kind of shield, you know, a lot of the market, but I'm not sure that's always the case. It seems like even my mutual funds would ride the market consistently. But I think, you know, if for some people sleeping at night, you know, need the safety, then they need to do that. But I usually don't want to sell when I'm at the bottom. I want to sell when I'm at the top. But what do? We always hold it extra longer because we think it's going to go. But, you know, there's a lot of good investment individuals here in town. And, you know, I think probably, you know, having more meetings, you know, everyone gets their statement in the mail and you're either, you know, you're up or you're down, but I think, you know, getting in a routine of really, you know, meeting with them, which they are always glad to do, because it's a service business. But I do think that, you know, we don't know. I mean, you pick up the Wall Street Journal and, you know, they're talking about unemployment now. It's kind of slipping back up. And so you don't know. But it's short-term or long-term is the way I pretty much look at it.
Now, people, as they get older, they start worrying about inheritance also. What are they going to leave the kids and the children and the grandchildren? And that has got to be a problem that there are answers for.
Well, it's fortunately, and there is another individual in my office that mostly does this, but they're raising, always thought it was most unfair when an individual, especially a business owner, or usually I said the farmer, mm-hmm. who had accumulated the acreage, and, right. and they're farming it, but the value of it's going up, mm-hmm. and it was always seemed to me unfair. I think you remember a long time ago, it was I think $650,000 if you were over that. Well, it didn't take much to get over that,
right?
And so gradually, you know, the federal government and now the state of Tennessee is starting to bump theirs up, and they're not as aggressive as the federal, but there's, you know, they're going to eventually, Tennessee in a few years will be up to a $5 million exemption.
Wow.
And with a good estate planner and attorney, there's a way to, you know, if you're married, you can leave that to a trust and really double it up. Mm-hmm. And I feel a little bit better about that. There's individuals that say, you know, that money was taxed already. Mm-hmm. You know, you're taking another, but I'm thankful that they're finally, you know, getting it up there. So some of my clients, you know, plan to leave it with their children. Usually if they're married, they want to take care of their spouse. Mm-hmm. And sometimes if they're older, they'll use a trust or something like that. But,
well, that's something that has become more and more in question right now as far as people protecting their property for their inheritance. And we're going to get back to that, and we want to let you know that this portion of Greg J. Grannis's show is brought to you by Gordon Ralston Photography. And they're at 315 Hickerson Drive. You can reach them at 396-8776 or pull them up on the internet, www.gordonralstonphoto.com. And Al Gordon, a master craftsman photographer, and Larry Ralston, certified craftsman, both hometown guys, are the most awarded studio in the Middle Tennessee area, operating a full-service photographic studio in Murfreesboro. They specialize in weddings, high school seniors, and family portraits. Their work is classic, yet current with a creative edge. Al was even awarded the Grand Award for the best wedding image in the world. Gordon Ralston, they look forward to meeting you and will treat you like family.
Murfreesboro Medical Clinic is more than just a clinic. It's the doctors you can trust, a technician you can believe in, and a staff member who goes the extra mile. From the time someone walks in our doors, the difference becomes evident. All of our resources are used to improve the healthcare experience of our patients, and we have been a part of Rutherford and surrounding counties for over 60 years. Murfreesboro Medical Clinic.
Murfreesboro Medical Clinic.
The Bungin' Nut Pig is back and better than ever in the borough.
My name is Mary Fugit. I work for TriStar Title Company, and I had to come today to the Bungin' Nut Pig because when my husband and I had our first date a couple of years ago, he brought me here for drinks and dancing, and it was the best time.
Join the Bungin' Nut Pig every Tuesday night for live music. The Bungin' Nut Pig on Northfield in the Georgetown Square.
This is Good Neighbor Events, brought to you by AmeriCare Pest Control. The Rutherford Home Show, Saturday mornings at 11:30 on WGNS. And the Omni Hot Restaurant in Smyrna.
I've got pests, bees buzzing, rodents running all through my house. Ants chewing wood, and look, there's a mouse. I'm overrun with pests, pests, but you're gonna be sure, safe and secure. It's the last rites for those pests. Call the best of the best to get rid of your pests.
893-7111. AmeriCare Services Incorporated. Call us today. 893-7111.
Let's check some Good Neighbor Events. The Traveling Tote and Fork Festival is coming to Murfreesboro over at the Broadmoor Senior Living Center on Saturday, June the 23rd. This is a trade show type of event to raise money for the Alzheimer's Association. And if your business or organization would like a table there, get in touch with Kathy Williams at 867-9777. And nature photos by Dan Whittle are on display at the Art Center of Cannon County now through June the 30th. On hot days, be sure and check on your senior citizen friends and loved ones. Make sure that they're okay. Fans and air conditioners do save lives, and if you need one, get in touch with Dwight Ogleton at the Cool Aid Program. His phone number is 818-2459. And if you'd like to make out a check to support the program, take it by First Bank on Memorial. Here's a heads up, there's going to be a Reedy family reunion at the Woodbury Senior Citizen Center on Saturday, August the 11th. I know a lot of you in this area are members of the Reedy family, and you need to make your plans to be there. We have your contact information under local events on our website. For more Good Neighbor events, news, weather, and sports, it's all free on our website, WGNSradio.com.
Play it again, sports!
Your baseball and softball headquarters.
Whether it's bats, gloves, pants, or training aids, we've got a great selection to get you on the diamond this summer. Name brands like Easton, Louisville Slugger, and Worth, but at Played Against Sports Prices, we're on Thompson Lane.
There is a difference at Murfreesboro Automotive.
We have a lot of people that just pull up and say, hey, my check engine light is on. Can you tell me what's wrong with it? And we don't charge for that.
That's Chuck Haynes with Murfreesboro Automotive.
A lot of stores will charge. We do that at no charge here. We feel like they'll probably become a customer if we do that.
From the simple oil change to major auto repair work, Murfreesboro Automotive can handle it all. They're on Ridgely Road, just turn off Broad between Chewy's and Chili's. Murfreesboro Automotive.
Project Help.
Good job.
For Project Help.
Those are the children of Project Help. Saddle Up for Project Help will be held Thursday, July 26th at 6:30 p.m. Proceeds benefit Project Help, Rutherford County's only center-based early intervention preschool program. To sponsor Saddle Up, buy tickets or learn more about Project Help, call 898-2458 or visit mtsu.edu/Project Help.
He knows Rutherford County as good as anybody. Truman Jones. It's the Truman Show here on WGNS AM and FM.
And welcome back with Jay Grannis, Jay Grannis and Associates. And I know your busiest time has to be from January through April. And I get a big kick out of taking my tax forms and throwing them in there and letting you have them and watching you. Your desk is sitting there against the wall, and the wall is surrounded by people who have done the same thing that I have, and they're all sitting on the floor.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, you have to have a special temperament or a special way of dealing with things to be able to deal with all that clutter. And I call clutter what I take over there. It is clutter.
Well, fortunately, after April 15th, it gets cleared up, but the... You know, when clients bring their information in, and you in the evening, what we'll do, or what I do, is usually is pull it out and start making my notes on it, and then I route it to a couple of individuals that key the returns. A lot of times, you know, a client's missing that one piece of information, and it'll go into another room on a shelf, you know, missing information. And then as it gets closer to April 15th, we decide, you know, if there's not a lot missing, we go ahead and start working on it to give them some idea if on April 15th they need to send a payment if they have to extend. So you try to, there's several of them, and it's funny, we usually, a lot of times we have a appointments. Mm-hmm. Some people drop it off, some people we meet with. And it's funny how individuals know it's the same day every year, same time, and they always think about that. But, you know, it is a volume of paper coming in. Fortunately, with the internet and scanning and all that, you know, now when we finish returns, a lot of people, you know, get a paper copy for their files. But now, you know, they can go to our portal and, you know, they'll have electronic. And a lot of times, you know, a banker needs a copy of the return and they can't find it. So we're always happy to provide one. But with that portal, they can go, you know, get a copy and anytime they want. So
now you send the results in electronically, don't you?
Right.
Now, how serious is that as far as the way that some of the computer thieves have been able to steal some of that data? Is it protected enough that you feel comfortable with it?
Very comfortable. In fact, it's almost just to, you know, preparing a return was one thing, processing it was another. I remember when I first started, we would copy all the client's documents on the copy machine, return their originals, and you know, you'd have a thick paper file. Well, now with the scanning, it helps tremendously. But the electronic filing, we're mandated pretty much because we prepare so many. They pretty much tell you. It speeds up the refund. You know, that's good. And for those that are
who gets a refund?
The refund that always and it's more efficient. You know, it's we're all, and of course, you know, we're all used to the old way, but. A lot of that technology is just extremely helpful when you're running a business, because you're trying to do a certain amount of volume and not put in too long of hours.
I'm going to ask you a question, and you may not know, and this is probably just a speculative answer anyway, but the federal government puts percentages on how much you make a year. How could they base something on that where as you make more as it goes up, you pay a larger percentage of what your income is? How do they base that? And then how come if you're making an enormous amount of money, you're probably paying very little? Now, is that a system that is set up to protect the people, or is it something to have very little common sense as far as I'm concerned?
You may be right on B. We've always had the tax code in the brackets, and it's very unusual. If you go back a little historical, you can go on the computer, how high the brackets used to be. Mm-hmm. You know, they were talking about, I think I read an article around World War II where, you know, if you made over a certain amount, it was, you know, the bracket just went up to 99%. You know, there was a reason. I think, you know, that I think, or my opinion is, somewhat lowering the rates. You know, you can always, and it's usually a political that someone, you know, made this money and didn't pay any income tax, will always say, well, I didn't prepare their return. I don't know, you know, what it is, but there could be different things. Sometimes people have what they call suspended losses or capital losses carry forward, and you know, they're just hanging there, and then finally you have some income come in. I was reading, there was someone in the paper, a young man, that his net worth was in the billions. He had invented something, technology. Mm-hmm. And I was going, you know, that is amazing. And I don't do his return, but I'm sure his,
wouldn't you like to?
Yeah, I'm sure his his bracket will just probably roll it over like an odometer. But it's always who writes the tax law. There's always going to be political, you know, and then who as far as sets the rates. You know, that's fortunately it's programmed into our computers, and we're not having to, like the old days where you used to go to the table with your finger. But I don't know. I think the rates, I'd like to definitely see them lowered. I think people do a good job. You know, we're asking people to take care of themselves in their later years. Mm-hmm. We're asking them to, you know, spend for the economy. We're asking them to educate their children, you know, but, you know, give a little bit more, you know, to the government. So there is some time, you know, go back and look at the historical rates. Very, very interesting what they've been over the time.
And, you know, a lot of people have been asking for a flat rate for everybody.
Flat tax.
Yeah.
Flat tax.
Would that be a fair assessment of everybody? Because, you know, the more you make, of course, you're still going to be paying more money than those that would be underneath you. The millionaires and those types.
Well, look at the tax code now, how they started out with something that was probably meant to be reasonably understandable. Mm-hmm. And I think they were, you know, flat tax. We always kind of laugh in the office, you know, will we be out of work if they go to a flat tax? No, we can all find plenty of work to do. But I'm afraid when someone proposes that, it's like everything else, it's not as simple implementing it. You know, charities who get a contribution, there's several people in their estate or tax planning make a large gift, and they know that...
Well, they're supposed to be giving from their heart, not their wallet.
Well, I guarantee you they don't let me forget it when I do their return. And so, you know, the flat tax has always been thrown around. You know, someone's got to put it down on paper, mm-hmm. the mechanics of it. You know, it's easy to throw, you know, propaganda out or anything like that, but you got to run through the mechanics. Is that going to, you know, affect charities? Is that going to affect, you know, a lot of other things?
Businesses.
Yeah, businesses. And so I don't know, but if you ever looked at the tax code and the tax law and the publications that we have, you know, it is just enormous, and it can be frustrating when you feel like, as you've been in the profession, it sure was easier,
mm-hmm.
you know, the forms and all that. Now it's what if, but if you can't, you know, and all those, you know, it's always peel it back a little bit better, you know.
Why is it so complicated now? Because the average Joe like me, there's no way that I could keep up with the tax laws the way they continue to change.
Yeah, it's, well, now fortunately there's, you know, whether you prepare your own, a lot of individuals use a certain tax software, you know, and they enjoy it, and it has pop-up questions, you know, mm-hmm. and things like that to kind of making it, but if you're not into keeping up or doing that, it can, like most software, can sometimes frustrate you. But it's just an unusual. The tax code is just volumes, and they've made it. Everyone, I guess, wants something tweaked, and they start tweaking it, and then it's crazy. But the flat tax, you know, I've always heard about it, but I never really, you know, studied. You know, and its implementation. We always have great ideas. You have great ideas, and I have great ideas. But it's the implementation, and it may be the fear of it's not going to generate enough money. so that may be holding it back. I don't know.
Yeah, we're almost becoming. And you mentioned just a few minutes ago, computer generated from all the things that we do. I mean, we really are. You guys, it would be impossible. If you didn't have that type of software to keep up with all these things that are going on, and it's just massive. I mean, everything is involved in there that you would almost need to have seven or eight people there on your staff just to keep up with the specific things that are changing.
Fortunately, I've got some of my grandfather's old income tax returns back from the 30s and
ooh, I'd all like that. Those.
Yeah, very interesting. Very interesting. Pull it out. It's like one paper, flip it over, you know, and I'm sure that's what everyone would like it to be. But you know, that they've made exceptions and for everything, and so it really takes more forms. But yeah, to pencil a return, probably, unless it was very simple, you know, I don't probably anyone wants to attempt that. And has the software made it to where they can pass more harder, you know, forms and all that or restrictions? You know, sometimes we debate that at the office. You know, if someone had to crank that manually, they'd probably be a revolt. But that's what they do. You know, it's thank goodness for the software. Like I said, most of them have what they call diagnostics and, you know, little ticklers to help you, you know, mm-hmm. you know, if you get on medical, did you have medical deductions? And you can pop up a list and mark, oh, well, I have that, I'll have that, you know. Even I, you know, have to sit down, you know, and when I do my own return and really think about it. Because it's easy when you're doing it in April, you know, what you did a year mm-hmm. earlier. It's easy to forget your medical or contributions. Long-term care insurance is, mm-hmm. you know, for a lot is deductible. You know, we've talked earlier about retirement homes, you know, remodeling for someone in your house, maybe medical, you know, they have a, or we'll equip a bathroom. You know, they say if it doesn't, you know, significantly add to the fair market value of your house, then, you know, maybe a deduction. But even I have to, you know, when I hear that, I know there's possible I have to pull it out and read it and say, okay, here's the angle where we need to be looking at. But it's a lot of volume. And then, like I said, besides tax work, we, you know, do audits and financial statements. We do with bookkeeping and all that. But audits have changed. You know, it used to be, you know, the auditors were coming, but even the, you know, the audits have changed of what you do during the process of an audit.
Is that still a big fear for everybody that they're going to be audited?
Well, I'm talking about a financial statement audit. The IRS audit, most of the IRS audits, now, you know, when someone issues you a 1099, you know, and if you leave that off your return, you'll get a letter. And so, you know, this is what we show was reported. And a lot of times, maybe a stock sale, you just left it off. By the time you put the other half of what you paid for it, you may get more money back. So
yeah, good luck.
Yeah, so that's what you see a lot of is notices match up to the 1099 reporting. They were wanting, you know, a lot more. You know, we're used to issuing tax forms for employees or contract labor. Corporations, we didn't have to issue to them because they could adopt something besides a December year end, and you could see where the matchup would be a problem. But they were getting ready to start a lot of that and put a lot of pressure on property management and things like that. And you know, it was just, you know, it's the paper overload. You know, you got to run your business, yet I've got to do all these forms. So they kind of backed off on that. But usually on an IRS audit, you know, they say that, you know, if you look at the percentages, you know, they usually go for the income over $1 million. So, you know, we don't have to worry about that. Yeah. And of course, what they're feeling is that, you know, there's more to find, you know, based on revenue. You know, like you said, when you're in the 30-something percent bracket and they find a, you know, $10,000, they're starting to really, you know.
Now, how do the brackets go up percentage-wise?
I think it starts at, you know, you can go be as low as zero, you know, if you itemize your deductions, all that, and they go up into the mid-30s. And I think the proposal, you know, we're not sure what they're going to do, but they're talking about the upper bracket adding 3%. But what they're also talking about, we're all familiar with capital gains on selling stock and all that. They're talking about if you're in a higher income, you know, they may move that into more, you know, up to 25%. And it's just hard to you know, until they make a decision to know how to exactly advise people. I mean, there's a lot of people that, you know, may say, well, I'm going to take advantage of that low 15% capital gain rate this year, and I'm going to pull the trigger on some stocks or real estate, you know, some land or anything like that. And then usually, you know, you discuss with them, you know, that's going to save you, you know, possibly this much in tax. But if you're convinced that it's going to go up in value, you know, maybe that'll cover some of that extra tax and you make some more money. So, like I said, most taxpayers, you know, they're busy with their businesses or their, you know, lives. And
well, everything is frustrating for people that have gone through the harder times into the good times and now into the harder times, especially those that have gotten older, and they're looking to, like I said earlier, give money to their children who eventually hopefully go to their grandchildren. You and I grew up in a period where usually you did not really get a sense of freedom as far as your monetary needs were concerned until after your parents died or grandparents died, and then you received the inheritance, and it's been passed down from generation to generation. We're seeing a lot of that really come to a stop. Because of health reasons things like that, has really changed the appearance of how you're going to be looking at things like that, and it's difficult.
Yeah, usually inherit. I remember growing up as a young child. You remember, and several listeners do, is, you know, relatives live with you. You know, I mean, it wasn't just your household.
That's right.
You had the relatives, and you really. My mother was real good about looking after the neighbors, and it was real. And of course, the lifespan wasn't what it is today. for estate planning. I know a lot of grandparents and great-grandparents are funding those college funds, you know, for the kids and stuff like that. So I would not, you know, I think every children of, you know, of elderly parents, you know, want the best for their parents. Right. They want the money to go for the parents. What's the concern mostly I hear is there enough to take care of my parents? You know, help, you know, are we in the right place? Are we doing the right thing? Because they weren't involved in their parents' finances. Their parents raised them. Mm-hmm. You know, they were the one that taught them about finance. So it's a difficult to step in and try to help. But the passing down of the inheritance, I would probably, you know, the children, I educated you and I got it, and that was your inheritance. So, you know, good luck. You know, it's tough to with passing the money down to make sure that you're taking care of, you know, your parents.
Do you have a lot of that where you have older people who come in and talk to you and ask you how is the best way to set up their future earnings as far as what sure. how they're going to be able to utilize it?
And usually they know how much they, you know, even whether they're at home or in a retirement, you know, community, they know how much they, you know, spend every month. And then some of them have, like you mentioned, Melissa Warren, have someone come in or something like that, and they know about, you know, $3,000, $4,000 a month or whatever they're spending. Okay, so you go, you know, that's, you know, $50,000 a year. Now let's step over and, you know, so you get this much Social Security, this much retirement, and you're gonna, you know, dip into your corpus, you know, just this much. And that always concerns them. But I said, you know, that's why you built it up, wasn't it, to take care of, you know, and that's usually the way you do it. And there's a lot of times, it'll work out, you know. It's just kind of bouncing off ideas. What if, you know, I have this house, it's too much house, you know, should I go over there? I said, well, you like your house, you know, you know, and if you're happy there, stay there. And this is your monies, and this is how long it's going to last. And usually they just feel better about it, just talking it through. But
a lot of times, do they have their children come in with them to sit down with you, and so that everybody can kind of have a say in how it goes?
Yeah, I mean, kind of, and usually, especially if you're not, your children aren't local, you know, if they're in another state, and is, you know, like I said, the parents were always in. If the parents want to talk about that, they'll try to catch you around a vacation or a holiday or something like that, and you know, and many weekend meetings, and come in and talk through that, and make sure, you know, your will's in order and your, you know, everyone knows what everyone's doing, because, you know, it wasn't something you always talked about or anything like that, because everyone was fine. But when it becomes an issue, you just want to talk it through and make sure everyone knows what they're doing. You know,
you got a tough job, because you're trying to help people as far as their financial situation is concerned, but you kind of almost get involved emotionally and build up friendships with those people,
because
you're dealing with their innermost thoughts pretty much.
Definitely. We always, you know, try to have a open door. I remember when we had a Nashville office, and we were down on 4th Avenue South, and you couldn't, and now, you know, we moved to downtown Nashville, where the clients couldn't even come to your office. You'd have to get a parking garage or something like that. I voted against it, but I was overruled. I was overruled. I was just a youngling right then. But, you know, when I built an office here, I said, I want people to be able to pull the door and, you know, walk in. A lot of people come in, you know, can I ask them a quick question? Mm-hmm. You know, sure, that's, you know, personal service is how we, you know, do it. But like I said, a lot of good accountants, investment people in town, and you know, it's a good community, and you know, I think everyone tries to take care of each other.
I think we've seen a lot of business that was in Davidson County has moved to Rutherford County because of the convenience, a lot of it, and it's the attitude of the people around here, because I never felt comfortable going to Nashville and spending $20 for a parking space, and then having to lug yourself all over the place to get into those businesses. I mean, it
kept you in shape.
Yeah, it did keep you in shape, and kept you aggravated at the same time.
Well, you know, the
and you've got a great location where you are.
Yeah, you really do. Very, very, very fortunate. When we were looking for space, we had outgrown our old space, and we were very fortunate. A client got me a deal and built me a built a building for us. But we really like it for people to have access. You know, we're not far off the square. So
what drew you to Murfreesboro?
Just I remember sitting at the meeting when one of the partners of the firm, I was just an employee, said, "Got this gentleman in Murfreesboro wants to, wants to sell his practice. Mm-hmm. Does anyone want to go?" Hmm. I remember just sitting there going, "I'll go." And that was it.
Now, who had that before you?
Mr. Dave Davis.
Oh, okay,
Dave. Yeah. And it was kind of funny, and I said, "You know, everyone likes a challenge." So
we've got a call coming in. Got to put our headphones on. And caller, welcome aboard with Jay Grannis.
Yes, I had a question about what's the status of charitable deductions from donations made from IRAs for people over 70. Where does that stand now in the tax code?
Yeah, they were right now, I believe they had suspended that. And what they're doing is the latest thing I was reading an article is I'm hoping they put that back in because it was tremendous for a lot of individuals.
Okay. Now, I didn't understand any of that anyway, so it doesn't
matter.
Well,
what they did is they let you go straight from your IRA to a charity.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, you had so much in your IRA, you didn't need the money.
Oh, okay.
And so you could instead of having to pull it out, pay tax on it, and then take the charitable deduction, it would kind of not wash itself.
That's pretty neat.
Yeah. I think it's suspended. Like I said, Truman, it's hard to keep up.
I know. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with Jay Grannis.
We make important choices in our lives every day. You owe it to yourself to make an informed decision about where to receive cancer treatment. The Cancer Center at Middle Tennessee Medical Center offers the area's only accredited program. That means it meets the high standards set by the Commission on Cancer. We consider it a blessing to provide you with the very best care available. To locate an MTMC physician, call 284-LIFE. Why choose any place else?
Okay, Murfreesboro, the quack is back. That's right, you heard it here first. The Ducks are back in town on June 23rd for the Sudsy's Car Wash Child Advocacy Center Rubber Duck Derby. We plan to float 10,000 rubber ducks down the Stones River all to raise money for the Child Advocacy Center of Rutherford and Cannon Counties. $5 gets a duck entered into the race for a chance to win a $5,000 cash grand prize. You can adopt your ducks online at duckrace.com/Murfreesboro.
HGTV, the leader in home design and know-how, has joined Shaw Floors, the leader in flooring and city tile and floor covering, the largest flooring retailer in our area, to bring you HGTV Home Flooring by Shaw Collection. Doug Young with City Tile.
Come to City Tile and see the new selections of the HGTV products exclusively at City Tile.
Your HGTV Home Flooring by Shaw authorized retailer. Visit citytile.net. City Tile and Floor Covering.
Southern Community Bank, unlike all the rest. Beverly Barker, branch manager.
Southern Community Bank is a strong, independent community partner with a simple philosophy. Keep banking hassle-free for people who just want to be treated well.
We're unlike all the rest. Our services are intuitive. Our team is friendly. Our approach is refreshing. And our service is clearly unique.
We're located at 1950 Old Fort Parkway, next to the Doubletree Hotel.
Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
The Truman Show now continues on the voice of Rutherford County, WGNS, AM and FM.
And welcome back with Jay Grannis. Jay, we have touched on a few things, but I don't believe we probably even come close to even touching the knowledge that you have and what you could share with everybody.
Well, I think it's just something always different, mm-hmm. always changing. I think the caller was asking about the IRA, and technically it was expired at the end of 2011, but they're talking about, you know, that if you're a non-itemizer or if you're an itemizer, you know, they're recommending you that Congress, or they're suggesting that Congress will retroactively make that, you know, if it doesn't, then, you know, you would take that IRA into income and then have a charitable deduction, but it doesn't always wash out. So that's the frustrating thing is, you know, when you're halfway through a year and you can't do any planning. But most publications are saying that they feel like that's such a good thing to do, that, you know, for someone to, you know, take their IRA and donate part of it to a charity up to $100,000 or something like that. So it's just ever changing. Everyone's got a profession. We all admire every profession we deal with.
There is no way that an individual who is not in the business could keep up with all these changes, is there?
No, I don't think so. I think usually most individuals' returns are pretty much the same every year, you know, same investments. But it's when you have extra medical or educational expenses or things like that. And we just touched on a little bit of individual taxes. We hadn't even talked about business taxes and things like that. I always laugh at this, say some large company hasn't paid any taxes. Well, usually they've paid a lot of that out through salaries to employees, mm-hmm. you know, creating jobs. So, you know, there's just a lot of different areas. And I think it's me this time, so I'm getting buzzed. It's probably my repairman at my house. So.
Oh, bless your heart.
Yeah, my favorite thing.
You know,
Simon, I appreciate it.
Well, going into a small business here in this community, should a person have a thorough knowledge of what they're looking at as far as the taxes and all the things that they're going to be involved in? I can't, you know, we just recently saw something in the paper where one of the businesses was having a hard time because they had failed to pay their taxes for 3 or 4 years or whatever it was, both federal and state.
Yeah,
that's a pretty big burden to look at if you're not really into that.
I didn't see it. Of course, we all probably know what we're talking about. I didn't see how those numbers could be right, but I've also known some of the state enforcement individuals, and they've always, you know, notified in advance and even called if we were signed mm-hmm. on to a return or something like that. So I find that both sides was a little unusual, and I always wanted to know kind of the full story. But if you're starting a business, there's just different. You can incorporate or be what they call a sole proprietor.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, the biggest recommendation I have going into a business is, you know, really believe in what you're going to do and make sure the numbers work, because, you know, owning your own business, you know, all of a sudden you're, you know, like I always tell everyone, you're rolling the trash, you mm-hmm. know, you're doing everything. And so if you have a good business model, everything else will, you know, fall into place. But, you know, sometimes, you know, individuals maybe get frustrated where they are and say, well, I can do that better, and go out and really don't realize how much time it takes.
I was talking to a friend of mine that has a major restaurant operation going, and he says you pretty much have to stay a year or two ahead in the amount that you have to invest in the business you're going to have.
Sure.
That's a lot of investment.
That's right. That's right. Restaurants are a the owners will tell you that it is a 24/7. You know, you have to really be involved in it, but they love it. You know, they have that concept. They enjoy the whole thing. I've got some friends that are in the restaurant business and all that, but they really enjoy it. But when you own your own business, that, you know, you're going to spend, you know, the extra hours and things like that. So I only encourage people to just, you know, bounce your idea off with your friends and make sure your business model, you know, going into this area will have a return on it.
Does the future look pretty good here in Rutherford County and Murfreesboro as far as the business concept is concerned?
I think definitely. I think, you know, of course, you know, we went through the big growth spurt, but I think really, and I think construction will come back. You know, unfortunately,
oh, I do too.
Unfortunately, it slowed down. It was so, you know, exploding so fast. We all got a little taste of how it affected accountants, real estate, everybody. Mm-hmm. It was really good. So I'd like that to come back, you know, and, but it's just a good broad, I think, broad base.
Well, Jay, this has been an absolute pleasure for me.
Truman, always.
You're a good friend, and you sure do help me out, I can tell you that. It takes a lot of worry off of me when January and February come.
I'm glad, appreciate your business and everyone's business, but I know how it is. There's things that frustrate me.
Oh, yeah.
So you just try to find someone to help you.
Well, I appreciate it, and good luck, and tell everybody over there, hey, for me.
I will. Thank you.
All right. See you, Jay.